Off the Ball Breakfast.
But I thought you all liked, so you liked Amram. You thought Amram looked good too.
He did. He also looked very well.
I never liked his hair.
It's important to be caught.
He was doing too much, but he didn't do so that.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
To hear the full version of the Sunday paper review, become an Off the Ball member now.
Rugby, because we don't have a whole pile of time, but we're going to go to Hugh Farrelly in the Mail on Sunday. Losing the crowd is the headline here. Support for Farrell is not what it was. So, Sue, we'll come to you on this first, and I'll try and summarise the piece here as best I can with some of the quotes or some of the writing from Hugh. Largely, Farrell has based his squads around the same names that have been at the core of his team since 2021. He goes on to say, rapidly increasing desire within Irish rugby to give youth its chance and reward form and potential above loyalty. And Farrell is not meeting that. He says the old reliables who've recently been battling injuries, and what a perfect opportunity to go with what's hot and test the up-and-comers in the intense environs of the Stade de France on a raucous Thursday night. Now, he might be forced to do some of that anyway. But that's kind of not the point. It's Andy Farrell has, the Irish team have underwhelmed, caveats, underwhelmed over the last year. He's been away on a junket with the Lions, and he is not picking the players that we might have to rely on in a year and a half time.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I one of the things we were chatting earlier, it's like, you know, let's not jump too far ahead of ourselves here. You know, look, I think it's a challenging time, absolutely, and we look at the injury list and add it to that potentially last night as well. So it certainly is a challenging period, a challenging time, and starting Six Nations away in Paris in a Thursday night game, which is unusual. All of that,
we're not going to change horses midstream. We're not doing an All Blacks on it. The junket point, by the way, was facetious on my part. But there is definitely a swathe of thinking that people who were Andy Farrell loyalists are suddenly scratching their head.
Well, yeah, and not too quick, I would say. Like, let's, you know, slow that down a bit. I mean, I think, you know, we certainly are into that challenging time, but at the same time, look, he's there, he's been doing a job for us, and like, we've got absolute confidence in him. I people will, a little bit like the McGuinness, people have different opinions and views and all of and all of that. He selects a squad, he'll back them, and like, let's see where we go. The injuries definitely will mean that there's certain others will put their hands up, and they have to.
Do the injuries mean that, like, no matter what happens in the Six Nations, I don't mean no matter what happens, I think if we were to finish last, then we'd be doing more than scratching our head, but do the injuries give a big caveat, and there is likely to be an awful lot of youth coming? What's your thought about, like, what can rock the boat even further from the Six Nations?
Sure, but like I would equally say that it doesn't give us a caveat or an excuse either. I think, you know, we have expectations. It might be a challenging period for us for all those reasons. At the same time, you know, we expect to go out there and do a job. And it's not like you don't start the competition with making excuses, albeit acknowledge the challenges that are there. I would just say that, you know, you jump a little bit far ahead to say, well, hold on here a second, Andy Farrell. It's like, you know, at the same time, your lines, the experience of our players in that whole environment coming back into this. I mean, there's a lot to be said for all of that experience, including the coaching staff and everything else involved in that. But it's now look ahead into the Six Nations. The timing of it is really important as well when you look at where we are in the cycle leading into a World Cup in 2027. And those players that do come through in space of those injury gaps is really, really important, and hopefully will end up being opportunistic for us in the long run.
Are we a bit more forgiving of our Ireland rugby head coach than we are of our Irish soccer head coach?
No, I would say, like, I grew up in the 80s, early 90s, and so it was not a good time for Irish rugby. And you would hear Ned Van Esbeek and the writers at their time, and this player from Gary Owen should be called up, even though they wouldn't have trained with the squad the week before. It was a different time, and whoever was over the team at the time got heat too. So, and let's face it, Andy Farrell has dispensation here. Like, we were talking about the McGuinness factor here and not listening to everybody. Hugh Farrelly has written a really impassionate, knowledgeable piece, and I learned a lot from it, and he's framed it well, but there are lines in it and certain premises of it I would disagree, like patience is wearing thin. The World Cup is not being played tomorrow, like, or next week. Like, everything comes down to the World Cup.
I totally take what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
But I do understand the idea of the patience wearing thin, in the sense that, like, so he talks, actually, you're absolutely right about, like, leaving the piece with a load of extra bits, but, like, he talks about stuff like France, as an example.
Yeah.
He talks about Pinot, Fiku, Aldred, all left out of their team. He talks about them going to New Zealand last year, rewarded with impressive performances over the three test series that may not have resulted in any victories. That doesn't feel like something we're ever willing to do.
Yeah, I think that is, again, where the piece makes you think. And again, that's part of a column. And that argument is compelling. You could argue that he should be in more experimentation mode, because it is about the World Cup. And the point is Ireland can maybe, I suppose it comes down to, Ireland could have a dip. You can't keep it right up here in a 4-year cycle.
Mm.
Right? Like, Ireland, obviously, were right there, 2023. I mean, God, I remember being here the week after, right? We'll talk about it again. 2024, a certain performance level. Last year, a dip. And I suppose Hugh's saying, maybe, if we're to have a dip, let it be at least where we're doing a certain level of experimentation, to be plateauing, stagnating, declining, and it's the same faces. I could understand that to a point. But I do think Farrell has absolutely earned the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
To use an expression I heard during the week from a Cartman, you know, he's not a daw, like, you know, as we'd say.
No daw.
He's no daw. And he know there's a rationale to it. And again, a piece that got me thinking, and I know Pat Spillane of all people has been big on this too. He has the line, the Lions tour did not go down well with many. Andy has justified in his book. I could understand him even doing it, but did it have to be at the expense of stepping back? I mean, like, I'm a basketball head, as you know. Steve Kerr didn't give up coaching the Golden State Warriors, coached Team USA. Mm. Big, bigger, as big a gig as the Lions. For all the logistics there are with the Lions, there's people you can delegate to. I don't know if he had to do that. But overall, I think he's earned the benefit of the doubt. But this piece, I have to say, it was a very good scene setter for me. Uh-huh. Like, the fact that France are taking a few boys back, experimenting. They're in National League mode, you could argue. And whereas Ireland, it's hard to know. And it's a really good piece. And I know Hugh is as passionate as well as knowledgeable a rugby writer. Like, I remember when everything was going well that year, He
put the brakes on.
And it was everything, the quarterfinal. And of course, we lose the quarterfinal, and it's only heightened that.
Mm.
He makes many valid points. But I think, going back to slightly the McGuinness point, where his valid is, like, settle, you know? Like, reading the room. He doesn't have to read the room.
Mm. Well, there's only one room he has to read, and tends to read it pretty well. So
Yeah.
So where we go from there, we're obsessed, like, and we're with the PTSD that we have from World Cups, like, it's just, you know, it's horrific.
It's unbelievable how much, like, Six Nations are massive games. They're massive occasions, right? You can talk about it, but, like, there we are. Look, there's the Aviva. It's Scotland, Wales, they can be having terrible teams. People want to hear and sing Flower of Scotland, you know, whatever the Welsh saying, unbelievable, as occasions. It's a brilliant event, right? Rugby has that, but for all that, it comes down to, for us in particular,
a game.
It's unbelievable. Four years.
You know what? The quarterfinal.
And yet they can't do that. It's another big game we have. That's all you can do about it. But I do remember interviewing Mike Ross, let's say, and I remember him talking about that game. You know, And like the reality is you have to look at it in a different way, and it's all one foot in front of another, and yeah. these are all big games that help us get ready for that one. But look, that's judgment there.
Mm. I wonder if I don't actually believe that it's a quarter final. I don't think us getting past a quarter final is actually going to help us.
Well, you know,
I think it's nearly getting to a final. I think, like, even from an external factor point of view, there's not going to be any credit for getting past the quarterfinal. If we get beaten in the semi-final, we'll just replace
it. Yeah, but it's just because, but again, it's very uncommon because, it, again, to use, like, even you get all Beckett with it, like, you know, we fail. Is it Beckett? Fail better, right? Is that him? Right?
Go for it. You're not going to get any challenge here.
The point is that, like, we had a situation we couldn't win any game of relevance. Then 2011, we beat Australia. Right, we beat the French in 2015. The last World Cup, we beat the Springboks. Like, I mean, there were. It sounds, because then it sounds like, oh, we're back to the Gallen failure. Like 2023 was not, and like that move, I thought they were going to find a way. Like in the 36 phases, it was. I have to say, right, and it's not always my favorite sport. I found those two quarterfinals as compelling a sport as you
It was absolutely incredible.
It was world. You know, you can talk about rugby being a global minority global sport. That was as good a sport.
Amazing.
So the point is, they could have as easily have won. They were just to reduce it, and that is I remember writing Ronan O'Gara, and he even got in touch. Like there, he was a proud Irish rugby man, and we don't get to the quarter final again. It's because the biggest stick, you can't even get past the quarter final. So I do think, but again, that's like, you know yourself, you can get to a soft All-Ireland semi-final, you can get there the hard way.
We need
way.
One of them we, 40 years later.
Yeah, like, so I take your point that, you know, if we were to beat just a certain team in a quarter final, it wouldn't be hit
they'd
home.
Replace it with
but
the...
gee, it just would be such a monkey off the back.
Oh, but it, what you alluded to though is so important to remember. Like, there was a time where we weren't in the experience of this level of success. You know, we expect a certain level, like how we perform. You know, when you look at, like, you know, size of population, playing population and everything else, like remembering, oh my gosh, we really do punch above our weight, if you like. And at the same time, we know we're capable of that next level. Like, there was nothing between us. So
yeah, we're not here for that kind of context. I think that there were the Saturday and Sunday games, the South Africa France game, and I was at both of them.
Right,
the Ireland game, I was like, I don't think I'm ever going to witness an event like this again. And then there was the Sunday night, and I was like, oh my god, this just went up a notch. It was incredible.
It's incredible.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. France went into a lead, obviously, and then everything happened that happened.
To hear the full version of the Sunday Paper Review, become an Off the Ball member now.